This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Joe, we have who's up as far as guest for Monday Night Talk this segment?
Well, right now we have the Massachusetts Governor, Charlie Baker, on the line. Governor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
First and foremost, I got to ask you, have you done any adjustments to the bunker? I know you've been spending a lot of time there.
You know, the bunker's pretty much, I think, as it is, as it was when it was originally conceived. And I basically try my best to learn what I can from the experts who are there and then to stay out of the way and ask questions occasionally. But as I've said before, most everybody in there kind of knows their role and knows their gig and just hops on it when they need to. And there have been a lot of people who have been out there now for, 6 or 7 days straight, because we did bring in folks from a whole bunch of other states to help us work our way through the snow removal process in anticipation of the storm we just had over the weekend. And we'll continue to have people there probably for the next few days as well.
How are the sources for the state? I mean, we've been hit storm after storm after storm. I think we've got almost, 80, 85 inches on the ground in some places. How is the state holding up for resources, salt, and money to fight this?
Well, obviously, we're going to spend beyond what we anticipated we would spend for snow and ice removal, but in the grand scheme of things, that should be a manageable problem. We have brought in both manpower and equipment from about 6 or 7 other states, which has been enormously helpful, especially in giving sort of ancillary and complementary help to our existing teams at the state and local level. And obviously, at this point, you know, one of the things you worry about a lot is fatigue. Now, we all have sort of 12-on, 12-off rules for most of the folks that are out there doing this stuff. But I think for everybody, you know, people working this stuff need to be careful the same way people shovel in their driveways or they're cleaning off their sidewalks or taking snow off their roofs need to be careful. I mean, it's just one of these things where everybody's got to be cognizant of the fact that we're now into the third week of this. I saw a sign the other day that said Massachusetts closed on Mondays.
Governor Joe Rossi here, and in addition to being co-host of Monday Night Talk, I'm also chair of the Marshfield Citizens Coastal Coalition. We're a citizens group, and we're really involved in coastal issues. And in my hometown, being Marshfield, obviously you took some time, along with the lieutenant governor, to tour storm damage after Juno. What were your impressions of some of the areas you saw there, and what could be potentially some of the actions that your administration takes going forward for coastal infrastructure and storm recovery?
The good news to some extent is we went into this second storm really worried about, or this is the fourth storm, I guess. We went into the fourth storm really worried about what it might mean along the coast, especially because it came so quickly after the previous one. Juno was just a lot more impactful along the coastline, especially on the South Shore, than this one was. This one was much tougher up in the sort of northern Essex County area, Newburyport, West Newbury, places up there. We had reports of sort of water on the street and that type of thing in certain areas down on the South Shore, but we didn't have the kind of breaches or the kinds of issues associated with literally just not being able to get to certain places because of debris and wash and all the rest that we saw during Juno. So I appreciate the fact that there were some inconveniences and some minor flooding associated with this one, but the last one was a lot worse, at least on the South Shore.
I guess I would ask you, and that is, was it mostly just the South Shore? Did you have a lot of the North Shore communities having issues with coastal problems and seawalls?
Well, if you get up into the Newburyport area, sort of that northern Essex County part, they got hit very hard. I mean, they got 24 inches of snow, and they had the 60 to 70 mile hour winds. They had some issues at high tide. Plum Island got hit pretty hard. They've had a bunch of roofs collapse up there. I mean, it's been a really, really rough 48 hours for the folks on the North Shore.
I would ask you, you know, we know that they're trying to deal with these storms and clear the roadways for transportation. I guess another issue that you've had to deal with, and you've done a great job doing so, is the issues that the MBTA has been having. Kind of give us some insight on that side.
Well, I think the big issue is simply the volume and the speed with which the snow fell. You're talking on the general MBTA route system, which is, I would describe as sort of Greater Boston, Eastern Mass, whatever you like. You know, you're basically talking about 8 feet of snow in less than 3 weeks. And usually, you know, you have a storm, you get sort of 6, 7, 8 inches of snow, and then it melts for a few days, and then maybe you get another one. The big issue for the T is once you get past a certain level of snow on a consistent basis, it makes it very hard to move the trains around above ground. And obviously it creates issues with respect to the buses as well, although we've been coordinating a lot of our plow activities to make sure that the bus routes that they run on are as clean as we can get them, and in many cases have managed to get them back to the curb, which has been helpful. But the above ground stuff has had a big impact on the third rail, on the red line especially, and on the orange line. And that's because once you get above, you know, sort of 12 inches at once, it starts to short out the rail because it buries it, basically. And the blowing and the drifting of the snow over the past sort of 24 hours has been a big problem for them, because you clear out a big chunk of track, and 2 hours later, it's completely under the snow all over again. I think those folks are working hard and doing the best they can, but it's going to be a few days before, based on what they've been telling us, that they're going to be back to something resembling what I would call a full service.
Well, once we get past this season, winter, once we get into the spring months, is it something that your administration is going to have to take a look at, a close look at the MBTA, and see what needs to be done as far as the infrastructure, as far as the equipment?
Yeah, that's certainly going to be something we're going to be spending time on. I think it'll probably be before that. I mean, I think we'll start, we're going to have conversations with the board that oversees their operations about how we can participate in selecting an interim general manager. They obviously, the current general manager is going to be there through the middle of April, but she submitted her resignation last week. So they and we need to figure out what we're going to do on an interim basis and then on a permanent basis as well. And then in addition to that, what kind of short-term measures we can take to sort of make sure things work better for the rest of the winter and into the spring, and then what sort of things can we do in the medium term to make sure next winter isn't like this winter.
Hey, I tell you, you've had a busy time in the short time that you've been in office. Other than dealing with this weather-related stuff, issues with the MBTA, you've also been able to manage a $768 million deficit. Talk to me about what's been done. I know that the House and the Senate have already taken action, correct?
Yeah, well, the good news is, and I'm grateful to the legislature for this, they acted pretty quickly to enact the legislation that we sent them to solve for the $768 million budget deficit for the fiscal year that ends in June. And of that, you know, about $515 million of it are spending reductions of one type or another. But, you know, we had a couple of goals going into this. One was to not hit local aid, which we didn't, and the other was to not raise taxes or fees, which we didn't. And so I feel pretty good about where we are. I mean, there are a lot of things that got hit along the way, but, you know, we had a couple of rules here, and one of them was, you know, we put a hiring freeze into place pretty much like the second or third day we took office, because we knew there was a budget deficit, we just didn't know how big it was. And that hiring freeze is going to end up saving us a significant amount of money. And our view on it was pretty simple, which was, you know, better not to hire somebody into a job that you can't afford to pay them for than to continue to sort of run the thing the way you've been running it. We also went back and looked at all contracts that have been signed in this fiscal year, and especially if they've been amended, to see what we could do with respect to those. And we basically, any program that hadn't started yet that had money appropriated for it, we just said, forget it, you know. And those sorts of things, while they didn't make up, you know, a majority of the money, made up a significant minority of the money we were chasing to get the thing back in balance. And let's face it, we shouldn't be spending money on expansion if we can't afford to pay the bills on what we already have.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question. Again, we are speaking with Governor Charlie Baker. And you said kind of a key quote while you were putting together a plan to tackle this budget, current budget deficit, and that was the state has to learn to live within its means. And it sounds to me as though that's something not only that you're dealing with this issue, but something that you're going to probably look to do as you're putting together the FY 2016 budget.
You bet. And it's going to be sort of a standard way of thinking for everything we do around here. And you know, the other thing is state spending, even after we made all these changes, is still going to go up by about 7.5% this year, which is just not sustainable, okay? I mean, even in a state like Massachusetts, which, because we have great people who are tremendously clever and entrepreneurial and hardworking, state tax revenue is not going to grow by more than, you know, 4.5-5% a year. So we've got to get to the point where state spending grows at the same rate that state tax revenue grows. And, you know, this notion that somehow you can grow spending by 7-9% a year is just ridiculous. It won't work. And you have to raise taxes every year to pay for that. And let's face it, the people of Massachusetts don't want to go there, and it's up to us to figure out how to make sure that we live within our means the same way they do every single day.
When do you hope to have to present the House one, your budget for FY 2016?
That'll probably be around the first week in March.
Okay. And the last thing I want to ask you about is, I know that you had signed an executive order, and actually the Lieutenant Governor actually started a little bit of a tour looking to strengthen your partnership with municipalities. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Well, the Lieutenant Governor and I are both former members of our Board of Selectmen. We sort of, I think, have a pretty good understanding about how state decisions affect local government, and we wanted to elevate the relationship with local government and to create a sort of a kitchen cabinet, for lack of a better word, that would involve local officials that's chaired by the Lieutenant Governor. And that was the first executive order I signed as governor, was to create that kind of a cabinet and to make sure that there's a robust and ongoing and constructive dialogue between the Commonwealth cities and towns and our administration. And we're going to work real hard to work with them to make sure that we're all sort of, whatever your favorite cliche is, singing off the same sheet of music, rowing in the same direction. I mean, our view is that the simple truth of the matter is, if you have strong local communities, you probably have a strong state. And we're going to work real hard to make sure that we deliver on that.
I have to ask you, have you had a chance to spend time with the family since you've been so deeply involved with these, you know, these weather incidents that keep happening one after another?
Well, it's certainly been a different kind of 40 days than I think we were expecting coming in. You know, the good news for me, and I guess for my wife, is our kids are getting older. I mean, we have one who lives in Virginia, and for him, all of what's going on up here with respect to the snow is just a laugh and a half. And we have another one who goes to college in New York. And for one reason or another, they've kind of been spared a lot of the snow. And then we have a daughter who's a senior in high school, and she's busy going through the process of trying to figure out what happens next year. But for us, our house is a lot quieter than it was 4 or 5 years ago, and I think that's made this easier.
I guess the final thing that I would ask you is, anything you want to say in closing as to being a regular guest here on Monday Night Talk? Joe and I definitely appreciate having you on.
No, I just appreciate the chance to talk to you guys and to engage in the conversation about what's going on around the Commonwealth. It's obvious you guys take this seriously, and I've always enjoyed my opportunity to chat with you.
Well, we'll look hopefully to talk with you sometime either later in March and kind of get your insight on the FY 2016 budget. But until then, stay safe.
Okay, that'd be great. I look forward to it.
There he is, Governor Charlie Baker here on Monday Night Talk. We'll step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.